Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Welcome back. My website is www.jbsba.com, and Bill Dunkelberg is our guest. Dr. William Dunkelberg is our guest and our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trusts. He is the former dean of the School of Business at Temple University. He's also was director of the Center for the Advancement of the Study of Entrepreneurship. He is now a professor of economics at Temple. He's also the chief economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, but more importantly, he's our good friend. Bill Dunkelberg, welcome back to the show.
Always a pleasure. How you doing?
It's good to have you back, Bill, as always, and we're doing great around here. Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you. It is a new year, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Things are looking pretty good for the new year.
Well, that's what we hoped you will tell us about. Folks, as you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, once a month now for, lo, these many years, Bill and his fine troop.
I like that range now. That's a lot better.
That's right. Bill and his fine troop of outstanding folks have been compiling every month. They've been polling, I should say, small business owners just like you and me, members of the NFIB, to find out about what they're seeing out there where the rubber meets the road, where their businesses meet the marketplace, and reporting back to him on what they're seeing. And he's been reporting that now for all these years, and he's been doing it on this show for a long time as well. And so that's what we're here to talk about. Bill, how are things looking for? This is the December report, right?
Right. Well, things are looking very, very good. As you may recall, in November, we tied the 30-year high level for the Optimism Index, which was last reached back in 1983, going into that wonderful 1980s expansion.
Right.
In November, we tied that number, which is terrific.
Mm-hmm.
And then December, we did slip a little bit, about a point and a half, but that still makes it, you know, about the third highest reading we've ever had on the index. So the bottom line is that our owners out there are very optimistic going into the 2005, and that bodes very well for the economy since we produce half the private GDP anyway. If we're happy and we're spending money, hey, the economy's not going to do half bad in 2005.
Right. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, do you know, with it peaking in November and waning a little bit in December, do you know what percentage of your respondents were retail?
I do. It usually runs around 22-23%, right around in there.
So which is certainly a minority, and so if you understand that, it might not be too surprising that November was better than December, because a lot of industries, December is not. You know, it's the cleanup month for a lot of industries. November, you know, people push and they get a lot of business done in November. A lot of customers of small businesses actually take up a lot of the month of December.
Sure. Well, Jim, I'll only make this one technical observation. We seasonally adjust the data, so if every
doggone it.
It's low.
There goes
hopefully we accounted for that.
I thought that was a brilliant example.
It was a brilliant idea.
You always have to throw in that seasonally adjusted little thing,
right,
there, don't you?
Seasonal adjustments. Well, it's like the whole holiday season. You know, we tend to try to predict spending by consumers with their income, but of course, spending soars in the fourth quarter, but income doesn't change.
Right. Okay.
It's just a seasonal thing, and we try to take that out of the data.
Okay, never mind. Hey, Bill, what do you think the 2004 GDP is going to be at year end?
What's it going to be? By year end?
When we get all the numbers in for 2004, what's the growth rate going to be for that year?
Well, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be pushing up toward 4. We think that we had a very close to a 4% fourth quarter. Which would mean we had, that would be 4 for the fourth quarter, 4 for the third quarter, Let's see. I've forgotten what the first half was, but it was very strong.
It was close to four, and I think we're going to probably wind up with around 4%.
So I think it'll be 3.8 somewhere in there.
Nice and solid, right?
Yeah, very. Trend is around 3.1, so you're growing, three quarters of a point faster than trend, and three quarters of a point doesn't sound like much until you multiply it times a $11 trillion GDP, and then you find out that's a lot of GDP.
No kidding. Well, the thing about it is if we could have 3.5 to 4% growth for the next few years, that kind of growth and compounding of solid growth, that'd be awfully healthy, and we'd still be the envy of the world.
Absolutely, and eliminates the Social Security problem.
Right. And solve, and we also need to throw in some world peace in there too somewhere. Bill, stand by. Quick break. 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. Stay with us. Back at 17 till. I'm Jim Lassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the National Federation of Independent Business, NFIB. And Bill is reporting to us about his December survey of small businesses all across the country, telling him and now us about what they're experiencing in the marketplace, if things are going well, where things are a little bit shaky and where things are strong. Bill, talk to us about pricing power. You know, for a long time, for most of the early part of this century, we had no pricing power, and more's the pity. And a lot of companies didn't make it because they weren't able to cover their expenses with pricing power. But in the last year or so, pricing power has come back a little bit, and it's improved actually quite a bit. How did it turn out in December?
Well, in December, we saw the percentage of our firms reporting that they raised their selling prices continue to decline from that amazing June numbers. Mm-hmm. Get a little history here. If you remember back in 2003, almost as many firms were cutting prices as raising prices.
Right.
But kind of the net percent raising prices was just above zero, and that squared up with the inflation rate. We had very, very low inflation in 2003. Then as the economy picked up some pace late in 2003 and early 2004, owners suddenly figured out they could raise prices, and they stuck. Maybe some customers left, but the point is you'd have to go to another guy who was raising his prices. Meantime, there are a lot more customers, so mm-hmm. So even if you lost a few, the higher price times the new customers compensated for that. So we saw the incidence of price hikes rise all the way from like near zero to 29% in June. Now, since June, we have fallen down to 15% in December. So that's very good news from the Fed's perspective. That is, that was an opportunity to reprice and kind of catch up with things.
Right.
And took it. But obviously, there's no pervasive underlying cost problem that's causing all of our small business owners to have to raise prices. Profits are still very, very good. So that's the best of all worlds. That means good profits, and we don't have to raise prices to get it. Wow, I mean that's very good.
Well, and we've sort of hopefully by now been able to build in the increased energy costs into our models. But Bill, when small business owners are cutting prices like they did, as you said in 03, that told me that they were doing that for cash flow purposes. That meant their profits were eroding. And of course, as that's what happened. That's what wound up happening, and that's the reason a lot of companies didn't make it. And now the people who are here, who are still in business, those are stronger firms, aren't they?
They certainly are. We're certainly in very good shape. Lots of cash, good profits. Of course, we went through the wringing out process in 2001 and 2002 and early in 2003, really getting our costs lined up and our labor force rationalized. And so having done all that, while we were in very good position when the economy bounced back, and that means lots of money went to the bottom line, deservedly so. And right now, everybody's looking in pretty good shape.
What about hiring? What's that looking like for in December? What happened?
Well, we're still looking really good. Along with that record index number in November, we got a net 19% of our owners telling us they're going to create new jobs. Historically, that's very high. That was pushing up to those late 1990s crazy numbers that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
That faded just a tad in December, but to 17%. But again, historically, that's a great number. If you consider the fact that back in the 1980s, which was a great job-creating expansion, that number never got above 14%. We're looking at really very strong labor demand, and job creation ought to be pretty solid in 2005.
Well, and that tracks with some of the year-end reports that we got recently. I don't have it in front of me, but I saw in the Wall Street Journal recently about how many jobs have been created and were created last year, and that basically what I saw, Bill, was that all the jobs that were lost since 9/11 have been recovered.
Sure.
In terms of numbers.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, that's one benchmark that one can use. Remember that we estimated that because we were all crazy in 2000 and thinking the economy was never going to slow down in early 2000, we employed 2.5 million people more than we needed to produce the GDP at the time. So if you looked at from 2000 to 2001, we were actually reducing employment already when 9/11 hit, and we continued to rationalize our employment levels after 9/11. So, you know, it is true that we've recovered the 9/11 number, but I think more importantly, you know, the unemployment rate tells us that we're really doing very well. We created 2.5 million or 2.2 million jobs last year, and the unemployment rate fell all year. So that means that we're providing jobs faster than people enter the labor force looking for a job, and that's why the unemployment rate falls. And that's really what our goal is as an economy, provide jobs for people who want them, and we're doing a great job of that.
Right, absolutely. And small business owners do it one half job at a time, don't they? That's the strength of when you've got millions of small businesses out there, and some estimates are that, and I think these are correct, actually maybe even conservative, over 20 million small businesses out there. When you're creating jobs at 0.2 jobs per small business, it doesn't take long for those to mount up, does it?
And it certainly doesn't. In fact, November was the all-time record high for us. It was 0.53 employees per firm. That's very good.
Yeah, absolutely. Stand by, Bill.
Wasn't bad.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about capital spending. How did it do in 2004 and in December? And we'll compare that to your experience right after these messages. 10 till. We'll be right back with Bill Dunkelberg. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Bill Dunkelberg. Bill, give us your website, please.
You've got nfib.org/research.
Right.
And
that's where they
can
find your survey.
And I post my monthlies even sooner on smallbiz.org, smallbus.org, and the charts that go with it, so you can find them very quickly there.
We also have the survey every month. We post the survey on our website.
I was going to say, then you have it. So.
Yeah, on the homepage, we make sure it's there, and we have two different surveys there, the NFIBs and the Tatum Group's, the Tatum Partners survey. And so folks, I encourage you to check this out, and I think you'll learn some things. I think if you want to become a little bit more I feel like you'd be a little more of a professional manager if you know what other people are doing around the country, what they're thinking, what they're experiencing, and if you can get those kinds of perspectives distilled down into one report like Bill does. This is an invaluable service, Bill, I think, that you provide, and I want to thank you for all the work that you've done over the years on this.
Well, thank you. It's certainly been a pleasure and continues to be. It's a lot of fun talking to the people who really make this American economy run.
Well, and I know that, your zeal and your passion for this and your interest and love for small business owners comes across when you're here on the show, and we appreciate that very much. Let's talk about capital spending. How did small business owners spend their capital for capital items, their money, I should say, for capital items in the month of December?
Well, we had continued good news there. We had 64% of the owners telling us that they made outlays in the 6 months prior to the survey, and that's been the case for a number of months now. So that's a very good number. About two-thirds of us now are making outlays.
Mm-hmm.
And then in December, we had a real spike in the plans to make outlays. In the first half of this year, we had an 8-point gain there. 38% of our owners said they plan on making capital outlays in the next 6 months. The leaders there were manufacturing, transportation, and believe it or not, professional services. That's a lot of computer software, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Do you think that the spike in December was people taking one last gasp, taking advantage of the year end
expiring tax cut?
Actually, of course, they're not expiring, but the point is they're expiring for that tax year. Maybe they had an opportunity to, they saw, well, you know what, it looks like we're going to be profitable this year. Let's buy that computer in December instead of January.
Could be. On the computers, you might be able to get away with that because you have to have the stuff in place.
Let's put them in service.
Right. You have to have it in service to get the credit. And so December's a little late for a lot of stuff.
Well, but you can
get a truck and you can get a computer. Or
furniture or fixtures and things like that.
It's possible you can get that stuff and put it into service. Certainly if you start at the beginning of December. So there could be some of that in there.
I'm so glad you didn't say.
We'll look at the January number, and we'll see what happens.
I'm so glad you didn't say it was seasonally adjusted. I was worried about that.
there's no seasonal in capital spending.
Thank God, or I'd been 0-2 there. Bill, what do you think about 2005?
Overall, it's looking very good. We're going to, as far as our numbers tell us, we're going to have another very good job year, about like the one we had, maybe a little bit better. We're going to have somewhat higher inflation than we've seen, but higher than 2003, but probably lower than 2004. So we're looking for inflation to be in the 2.5% range. That'd be down about 0.5 point from last year.
Mm-hmm.
That means long-term interest rates probably won't go very far, even though the Fed's raising the short end. It's flattening the yield curve, and the 10-year Treasury ought to not go up more than up to 5. So nothing's really going to happen there that looks bad. It looks like kind of a replay of 2004. And that would be pretty darn good if we can do that.
Well, not only a replay of 2004, but with a little more momentum because of our confidence level. I still feel like in 2004 we weren't quite confident that things were going to be okay. But with 2003 and 4 behind us as a little bit of a foundation, don't you think people are going to feel a little more confident in 2005?
Well, I think so. But just in terms of the macro numbers. We can't continue to have a record auto year, so you're going to see lower auto production.
You can't.
The housing is going to slow down. You can't continue to do what we've done in housing either.
Right.
So those
and short-term interest rates are coming up. I mean, I predicted that Fed was going to continue to raise rates until it was 0.5 point above the inflation rate. And
I think you're right.
Yeah, and that's not even seasonally adjusted, folks. Hey, Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today, and we'll see
you
next time. Dr. Bill Duckerberg, ladies and gentlemen, with the NFIB, chief economist for the NFIB, and professor of economics at Temple University. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.